but may the righteous be glad. I just want to leave that up there for just a second and just write that down. Just write that down on your order of worship. If you've got your order of worship, which I had, don't have any more. What a good boy. Turn on the back and you can take notes, you can write, and may the righteous be glad. And you know what we do? And I am, you know, one of the things that I appreciate so much, you know, about what Ward said in his call to worship and his welcome was, you know, we read Scripture. I mean, and it's one thing to lead a church and to have to have all the answers and to know everything about everything, but it's a whole nother kind of leadership that says, you know what, I've read this passage for a long time, and I just realized that there's more to it than I ever thought. I appreciate that, because here's a Scripture that we will fixate on, and you know what we'll do? We'll look at the wrong word in this Scripture. We'll say, may the righteous be glad, and think, oh, but righteous. Yeah, I got to be righteous. I got to be good. I got to be perfect. I've got to be all these things. And, you know, I'm a lot of things, but righteous might not be one of them. But the reality is that each one of us has a righteousness that is given to us, that is equated to us by Christ, by God, because of Christ. And all that's left for us to do is be glad. Be glad. Are you an enemy of God this morning? I mean, are you actively seeking to do the contrary of His will? I know we all mess up. I know that we all have faults and flaws and we all do things. But are you an enemy? Are you a foe of God? Are you thinking, Oh God, I don't like you. I don't want to know you. I don't want anything of your kingdom to flourish. None of you can be in me. Is that what you are this morning? Then be glad. Be glad because you are righteous. And God is calling you to this gladness, this happiness, this existence, this life that is miraculously beyond anything that the world has in store for us. So this morning, remember this guy? Remember this guy from last week? Find your greatness. Remember the kid that's going to just run down this, you know, doesn't look like an Olympic athlete, does he? Doesn't look like he's in particularly good shape. He looks a whole lot like me running. Like, I might die. I don't know if this step's my last one or that one or this. But he's out there on that road. You know, maybe some people said, "Oh, you can't be a runner. Maybe it hurts. Maybe it's painful. Maybe there's a lot of things that it is." You see, God's calling us to this experience that's more than anything that we could ever ask or even imagine. God is calling us to this life of accomplishment, of this life of just gladness and experiences that we can't find on our own, that we can't find just being like everyone else and settling for what this world offers and settling for the limitations of our body, because there's no doubt that there's some discomfort involved in this activity because of the physicality of this guy's body. But at the end of the day, after he's pushed and he's endured the pain and he's gone through all of the hardships and all of the doubts, and he looks back at that road and realizes that I came down that road, I guarantee you there's a feeling of gladness. It doesn't have to be fast. It doesn't have to be a particular form. There was a movie made not too long ago called Facing the Giants. And it's a movie about a football team and a coach who's trying to be a better man. And he's trying to reestablish himself or let God reestablish himself as the man that he's called to be. And he's coaching this football team, and there's this activity that they do, and it's called the death crawl. One of the many reasons I didn't play football in high school, the death crawl. And what that is that you get down on all fours like this. Hayden, you might have to help me up here. and you do this. But that's not all. You got to get somebody on your back, and they lay back to back, and they're holding onto your shoulder pads, and their feet are up off the ground, and your hands and knees keeping your knees off the ground, and you crawl for 20 yards, 30 yards, as far as you can. And 20 yards is a long way in the death crawl. And there's this one kid in this movie named Brock, who's a big, strong kid. And he just knows that 20 yards, 30 yards is as far as he can go. That's as far as he can go. But his coach asks him for more. And he asks him for just a blind faith. That blind where he just take all of the requirements out of the picture and just blindfold yourself to where the distance that you have gone is irrelevant. Just see what you can do when you put all of your trust in that you can't see, and you allow something to work through you to accomplish. And yes, there's going to be pain, and yes, there's going to be discomfort, and yes, there's going to be doubts along the way, but if you will trust, if you will keep going. I'll tell you what, let's just watch this video.
Good tight hold, Jeremy. All right, let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he does it.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
Not another 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You got to keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by out of strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You promised me your best. Your best. Don't stop. Keep going.
Too hard.
It's not too hard. You keep going. Come on, Brock. Give me more. Give me more. Keep going. 20 more steps. 20 more. Keep going, Brock. Give me your best. Don't quit! No! Keep going! Keep going! Keep going! Don't quit! Don't quit! Don't quit! Brock Kelly, you don't quit! Keep going! Keep going! Go, Brock Kelly! You don't quit on me! No! You keep going! You keep going! Go, Brock! 10 more steps! 10 more! 10 more! 10 more! Keep going! Don't quit! Give me your heart! You can! You can! Five more! Five more! Come on, Brock! Come on! Don't quit! Don't quit! Come on, Brock! Two more! One more!
It's got to be 50. It's got to be 50. I don't have any more.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone.
Look up, Brock. You're in the end zone. there is no way, no possible way that he could have done that thinking, this is my goal. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to crawl 100 yards. Did you hear what the coach said? He said, but it hurts. He said, I know it hurts, but you negotiate with your body and you find more. We look at that video and we think to ourselves, well, yeah, give me more. Give me more. Give me more. So we're giving all of this away. We're giving all of this away. And in our metaphor that we're using, we're giving it all to God. We're giving it all to God. But do you realize what happens when we do that? Brock is the one who did it. Can you imagine the feeling of looking up and being in that end zone and knowing, yeah, it was the power of God. Yeah, it was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was all of those things. And God gave me the power. My coach empowered me to do whatever it is. But I did it. You can only do that when you stop settling. You can only do that when you negotiate with this body and just allow God to be. My question this morning is that, are we willing to be what God has called us to be, to experience what God has in mind for us, not to accept the limitations of this body or this mindset or our intellect or all of our fallenness, but are we willing to accept what God has in store, what God tells Jeremiah that I have a plan for you, and it's a plan of greatness, it's a plan of happiness, it's a plan of gladness, it's a plan of accomplishment, of never settling for anything less than the very, very best. Because see, we get all hung up on, but my best, if we're allowing God to work in through us, then it is not my best, it is the best. And each one of us has this wellspring of power that is inside of us. This endless reservoir of energy and power called the Holy Spirit, that if we will blindly trust God through the difficulties, through the doubts, through the pain, through all of the limitations of this life, the accomplishments will they're just downright inspiring. Did you see those other guys? I mean, they're just like, oh man, well, you know, just this guy, he's just doing the death crawl. He'll go 20 yards, whatever. Oh yeah, that's what we expect. And they're just going about life. And he gets to the 30, to the 40. Imagine to the 50, to the 45. And what do they start doing? They start standing up. Because they start seeing something that they've never seen before. They start experiencing vicariously through him what they've never experienced before. They see a possibility through their teammate that they've never seen before. And involuntarily, nobody sent a memo. Nobody sent suggestions. Nobody stood around or sat there and asked, is it okay? Should we stand? Should we clap? There was just this involuntary movement called inspiration of what is going on in front of them. And they rose. They wanted to get a better view. They wanted to see, are my eyes deceiving me? And God's calling us to that life. He's calling us to that kind of experience where others around us see us doing it and moving beyond, negotiating with our bodies and experiencing a life that no one's ever dreamed possible. And they want to see it. They want to get a better view. And they're just going to stand in awe. They want to see more. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to Haggai chapter 2. Haggai is one of those books where, I don't know, there's not a whole lot of sermon series that you find on the internet out of Haggai. But I know when some people saw the text, they're like, Haggai? Is that in there? It's in there. And it's amazing. It's this book that's written about 500 years before the birth of Christ. It's after the Babylonian exile, and Cyrus comes into power in Babylon, and he allows the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, the remnant left. He allows them to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild their city and their town and all the things. And they get back and they find that the temple is in ruin. The Bible says that not one stone was left upon another. And so they go back to rebuild, and they face all of this opposition from the Samaritans, every other person, all their neighbors, all the people around them. They just thought it was just the most ridiculous thing, and they ridiculed them, and they attacked them, and they discouraged them to the point that it took until Darius came into power, until they started to really rebuild, because it was just too hard. There was too much opposition. There was too much. There was just too much rubble. It was just so difficult. And so Haggai comes along, and in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, and ask them, who of you are left that saw this house?" You know, it implies that Haggai was alive and he saw it and he knew the possibilities. He knew the potential. And you see, the problem is that so many people that we live and work with and go to school with and are around every day, the problem is they've never seen the glory of the Lord and the potential that is there. But Haggai says, who of you have seen? Who knows the potential? Who have seen people do amazing things? God work in His people to the point where you stand and you got to get a better look. Who of you have seen that? I have. And he goes on to say, how does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Do you ever feel like life is just like nothing? I can't make a difference. I can't change anything. Life is, there's just too much opposition. There's just too much destruction. There's just too much pain. There's just too much this. There's just too much rubble to overcome. Does it seem to you like nothing now? But now be strong, declares the Lord. Be strong. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. That last line, I love that. Do not fear. The first question I want to ask in this, are you willing to be? If you want to rise above and to accept and to taste and to experience and to have the life that God wants you, enables you, has planned for you, if you want that gladness and that joy, that happiness, that inspiring life, are you willing to be faithful? The first question is, are you willing to be faithful? And we say, oh, I knew it. I knew he was going to get to the part where I had to just be this incredible person and do all of these things and all that. That's not what I'm talking about. Faithful isn't the strenuous, ridiculously impossible for us to accomplish word that we give it. That's not that. The definition of it isn't that. Are we willing? He says, look, you know, this is what I promised you. Verse 5, he says, I had a covenant with you and I made a promise that if you would be my people, if you would trust me, if you would not look around and see the brokenness, not look around and see the destruction, not look around and see your weakness, but if you would just trust that you are what I say you are, you will have a life that is amazingly incomprehensible to those around you. Are you willing to be faithful to that? He says, but now be strong. And that word strong isn't, okay, I got to work out and I've got to do this. It's the root of that word, unpacking that word, be strong. And he says it over and over, be strong. Your leaders be strong. Secondary leaders be strong. All of the followers be strong. And when you unpack that, it means be faithful to the Lord and depend on Him. Are you willing to trust His strength? Negotiate with your body and say, God, if you want this done, you are going to have to do it. And then just be willing to be faithful, willing to be strong in the Lord. Remember Ephesians chapter 6 where he says we're against this and we're against that. You know, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and the principalities and the rulers of the darkness and da, 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 da. And then finally he says, excuse me, be strong in the Lord. He doesn't say be strong in yourself. He doesn't say dig deep down and find this willpower that is in you. He says, no, be strong in the Lord. And in His mighty power, put on the full armor of God. You know why you put on armor? To protect the weakness. You don't strengthen the weakness. I'm going to tell you something. Hanging out with the football players, helping with the football team, and Hayden's kicking, and I'm out there shagging punted balls and all that, and, you know, that's great, and they all take their shirts off because they think that's cool, and I'm fat and I'm not taking mine off. And they're all chiseled out of granite. I mean, the abs, the pecs, the delts, all those things I don't have. I have them. I just haven't seen them in 30 years. I mean, these kids are strong. I mean, they're strong. But I guarantee you take an arrow. I got a Browning compound bow, about a 68 pound pull, a little more than, you know, 300 feet per second. You can get strong as you want. All them pecs, I put that broadhead on any one of them at about 35 yards. All the strength in the world go right through them. Might not even slow down. But you put a steel plate on, that arrow will shatter. And that weak, relatively weak flesh inside that armor is protected. But see, what we think is that, oh, I got to do push-ups, got to do push-ups. Oh, I got to do spiritual gymnastics. I got to get in shape. I got to get strong. I. And God is saying, be strong in me. Put on my armor. I will protect you. The arrows of the evil one, the doubts, the fears, the lust, the envy, all of those things, the greed, it'll never touch you, because no matter how strong you are, one of those arrows will go right through you and never slow down. And you are left to spiritually bleed to death in a pool of self-loathing and self-doubt and all of the regret in the world. And he says, be strong in me. Do you believe that God has created you to live in the ruins of a life destroyed by humanity and sin and weakness and all of those things? Destroyed by worry. Has God created you to walk over the rubble of regret and greed and envy and fear? Has God created you for that? No. Be faithful. Be strong. Are you willing to be faithful? Are you willing to be rebuilt? To be remade in the image of God? Let God recreate your life and you will accomplish great things. He has got to tear down the fear, tear down the regret, tear down the worry, tear down the weakness of all of the doubts and everything that we have and rebuild it. Isn't that what he says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, that those who are in Christ are new creations? The old is gone and the new has come. Be rebuilt. What does that look like? It looks like trust. Are we willing to redefine how we perceive reality? Are we willing to put the spiritual blindfold on and trust God that really, really all things are possible through Christ who gives me strength? Are we willing to take that off of the t-shirt and put it in our hearts and start living life to the fullest? John chapter 10. In verse 10, the book is thick with it. He's thick. When we trust God, He'll take us the length of the field. When the ground is just too hard, when our muscles are aching, when everything around us is telling us to quit, will that rebuilt person emerge and say, "I trust You. I'm faithful. Your promises, God, will see me through." And the last thing, not only are we willing to be faithful, strong in the Lord, not only rebuilt and trust that He has made us new, are we willing to truly be happy? Are we willing to truly be glad? Because if we're not wanting and willing to be happy in this life, to enjoy this life and enjoy the outcome, enjoy the experience, enjoy all that God has to offer, we will never take Him up on His plea for us to be strong, His desire for us to be rebuilt. Because if we don't want to be happy, I promise you, we'll find a way not to. We will find a way to settle for mediocrity. The last thing he says, "Look, this is what I promised you when you came out of Egypt. Remember when I delivered you out of slavery? And My Spirit has never left you. Do not fear." It's because fear creates worry. Fear creates regret. Fear creates envy. Fear creates greed. Fear creates and enables lust. Fear. Fearing that we will fail. Fearing that we won't live up. Fearing that we won't have. Fearing that we won't be satisfied. Fearing that it isn't enough. Fearing that there's more to it. If we allow God to take away the fear, everything else falls into place, and we will, you will, I will accomplish more than we've ever dreamed or imagined. And along the way, as one accomplishment, as one victory, as one win leads to another, that gladness, that joy. And that's what the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But it boils down to what you believe. What do you believe about God? What do you believe about His intentions for you? What do you believe that God's plan is, that His abilities? I mean, what are His intentions for your life? I mean, dads that have had daughters, when the guy shows up and knocks on the door, "What are your intentions with my daughter, young man?" We want to know, what is in your mind? What do you have planned? What do you want out of this? Because I want to know, because if they're not in line with what I think they ought to be, then we have a problem. Frank, am I right? Amen. What are your intentions? What are God's intentions for us? What do we believe, truly believe, about the power of God in the lives that we live? We're going to sing a song in just a second. But I want you to look at something on the screen here and ask yourself, what do you believe? What do you believe about God? What do you believe about His intentions for you and how that affects your life?
This is the truth. If you turn things upside down, you can't hope for your life to change. I would be lying to you if I said that you have a great future ahead. that you can recover from your past mistakes, that your life could be filled with joy, that your children could be safe and healthy. More than anything, you must know human beings cannot accomplish these things. And I'm convinced of this because I know you. All you are capable of is failure. You have made a complete mess of your life, and I refuse to believe under any circumstances that you can turn things around in the coming years. You may think your life is bad now, but there's more to come. You have only one destiny, and whether you like it or not, this is what is real. I am the Lord your God. You should know I believe exactly the opposite. I am the Lord your God. This is what is real. And whether you like it or not, you have only one destiny. There's more to come. You may think your life is bad now, but you can turn things around in the coming years. I refuse to believe under any circumstances that you have made a complete mess of your life, and all you are capable of is failure. And I'm convinced of this because I know you. Human beings cannot accomplish these things. More than anything, you must know that your children could be safe and healthy, that your life could be filled with joy, that you can recover from your past mistakes. You have a great future ahead. I would be lying to you if I said that you can't hope for your life to change. If you turn things upside down, this is the truth.